Shkoyach, everyone. It's wonderful to see everyone. I hope everyone's having a happy and a healthy and a meaningful and uplifting and a safe summer. It's good to be back and it's good to see everyone and it's good to have the opportunity to learn together for a few minutes before we daven Maariv. The 3 weeks, the 9 days, culminating in Tisha B'Av, a period of Churban, a period of destruction. For many, they need to artificially try to recreate some sense of sadness. Chazal, in fact, our rabbis intuited this when they reverse engineered the mourning and the grieving this time of year. Normally, a person experiences an acute loss. There's the period of loss, then Shiva, then Shloshim. Here, our rabbis understand it's an Avelis Yeshana, it's such an old and ancient mourning. They reverse engineer it. Instead of the acute and then the 7 days, the 30 days, we went through 3 weeks, and we now find ourselves in the period of the 9 days, and it will culminate in Tisha B'Av because something that happened so long ago, it's very hard for people to relate or identify with, to get on the floor, to cry, to mourn, to grieve, to feel a sense of loss. After 2 years ago, Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av, for me personally, Tisha B'Av is no longer a hard day to feel lost, to feel churban. It's a time of the year that I, that we, that anyone who knew Rabbi Dr. Brian Gabbard, Baruch Tzvi ben Ruvein Nassan, anyone who knew him, certainly knew him well, feel that churban, that loss, that gaping hole in our hearts, and that gaping hole in our lives, and that gaping hole of somebody who was an extraordinary role model, a source of support, a source of inspiration. As he was nifter on Erev Tisha B'Av, he left this world, his neshama left this world, on Erev Tisha B'Av, and Levaya, that funeral that I'll never forget, on Tisha B'Av that took up this entire campus, as we then headed off to Eretz Yisrael for his final resting place. Our rabbis say that Misas Tzadikim, the loss of righteous people, is Gechurban Beis Elokeinu. To lose a righteous person is like the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash was bricks and mortar. It was a building. Maybe we'll repeat this idea again over Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos with Eicha, but I've been thinking a lot about the Surfside tragedy and the crumbling of that tower. And nobody cares about the structure. Nobody cares about the cement or the bricks and mortar. Certainly there was a lot of personal memorabilia inside that people will be saddened to lose. But it's not a building. It's the people in the building. It's the soul of the building. It's what the building represents. And the Churban, the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, was not about a structure, an edifice. It wasn't about bricks and mortar. It was about the one who occupied that building. The spirit and soul of that building was the Ribbono Shel Olam, was the Almighty Himself. And when a person was filled with doubt, when a person had uncertainty and a person had anxiety or worry, they went to the Beis HaMikdash. It was a place where Chazal tell us no less than 10 miracles happened a day. And when you felt a need to know that not only are we here in this physical world, but we have a soul, and that our soul is immortal, is eternal, is everlasting, that we are here not randomly or by chance, but for a purpose, then one went to the Beis HaMikdash, you connected and communed with your Creator, and you just knew, you came alive, you felt connected. And the loss, the destruction, that churban, the devastation of the Beis HaMikdash is not about the building, the edifice as great and magnificent and as glorious as it was. It was about that loss of that capacity, the ability to connect. Tzaddikim are an embodiment, they are a manifestation of God in this world. And Mises Tzaddikim, when we lose someone special, the people who play, not the same lahavdil, but a similar role to the Beis HaMikdash. There are people who, when we had doubt or uncertainty, there are people who, when we were down and out, we would magnetically be pulled towards them. And just being in their mere presence made us feel alive and made us feel confident and made us feel comfortable and made us believe that everything's for a reason and everything will be okay. We were able to attach and latch ourselves on to their optimism and their positivity and their faith. And when they're gone, when they leave this world, kechurban beis elokeinu, it is another expression of a destruction of a beis hamikdash. Because just like we can't go there to feel God, we can't go there to that person to feel their godliness, their tzelem elokim, and to connect to Hashem in that way. For me, for so many of you, for all those who knew Brian, Mises Tzadikim, kechurban beis elokeinu, he was... He was and he still is that person that the mere thought of his positivity, of his smile, of his unending and unshakable emunah, his faith. It just lifts you and it makes you feel that you can be stronger and that you can be more, to attach ourselves to such a person. There's not a day that's gone by in the last 2 years that I don't think about Brian. Just before the summer, I was at an event, a communal event. I won't say which one. It wasn't a BRS one. And it was in an auditorium that was hot and uncomfortable. And the event was taking a very long time. And I wish it were going faster. And I had a child in that event. And Brian has a child in that event. And I just thought to myself, when I was about to complain and I was about to feel negative and I was about to turn to the person next to me and say, it's hot and it's going so long and it's uncomfortable and why, I heard Brian's voice in my ear say, isn't this amazing? Isn't it amazing? Look at our children and look at this graduation and look at this event. Isn't it amazing? And even today, 2 years later, I stopped myself from going negative and from feeling sad. And instead, it continued to attach and latch onto him. And Misa Sadiq and Kehor Ben Beis Elokeinu. It's hard. And it's harder than when we could physically dance and sing. And when he would be here in this Beis Medrash, and he was such larger than life on our campus. But I want to share perhaps another suggestion of what it means, Misa Sadiq and Kehor Ben Beis Elokeinu, what it means, that loss from our Parsha. A message for all of us and in his memory. Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu in our parsha begins this soliloquy, this monologue on the last day of his life. And Moshe, as he recalls nostalgically some of the high parts of Jewish history, he also taps into some of the challenges. Any person in any position of leadership will remember that it's not smooth sailing and it's not linear. There's ups and downs and there's challenges. And in fact, the Pasuk is so relevant to the time that we're in, and we invoke the sadness of Moshe Rabbeinu that we lay it in the tune of Eicha. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, how can I alone carry you? Moshe remembers how hard it was, as broad and as big as his shoulders were. How can I carry your contentiousness, your tarachachem, masachem, your burdens, your heavy, your load, virivchem, your quarrels, your fights? How can I carry it? So what does that mean? What was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? So Rashi tells us, Tarchachem means you were a pain in the neck. You were a huge pain. You were an absolutely incorrigible, adolescent, complaining, negative, miserable people. And when two of you would have a conflict and there was a conclusion reached, you wouldn't allow the conclusion to be reached. You tried to prolong every battle, every fight, every conflict. You didn't come to a resolution in the pursuit of peace. You were tachachem, you were just a pain in the neck. You weren't pursuing peace. You were happy to prolong conflict. Umasachem, says Rashi Malamed, shahayu apikorsim. You were a burden. You were a heavy load to carry. This teacher, says Rashi, that you were apikorsim. If Moshe Rabbeinu got up early in the morning to go out, they would say, he must not have peace in his home. Moshe Rabbeinu must not have it together at home. The guy gets up early to go to work. He comes home late at night. He barely overlaps with his wife and family. Clearly, he's got shalom bias problems. Icher Latzeis, if Moshe slept in a little bit, if he slept in, Amru, Mara ben Amram Shalom Latzeis. He's probably having coffee with his wife, gossiping Lashon Hara about everyone in the shul. He hasn't left his house. He's probably sitting with his wife. He's probably sending texts and emails and WhatsApp. And he's busy gossiping and sharing the confidences of everybody in the community. Says Rashi, Masachem, you were a burden. Shayu api kursim, you were api korsim. And the question is, there are a lot of ways of describing the way the Jewish people were. They were immature, they were incorrigible, they were negative, they were complainers, they were hypercritical. There are a lot of ways to describe who they were. They were filled with sarcasm and cynicism. They had unfair suspicion of Moshe. There are a lot of words you could use to describe how they behaved. But Rashi doesn't use any of them. Rashi says, Malamed shahayu api korsim. Api korsim? What's an api korsim? An Amoritz is an ignorant person. It's a believer, but he doesn't know anything. What's an apikoros? a heretic. An Apikoros is someone who doesn't believe in God, who challenges the very existence of God, who has theological, philosophical problems, who rebels against the very premise, the very existence of God. So these negative, miserable, complaining, difficult people, they were all those things, but were they heretics? Why does Rashi describe Malamid Shayu Apikorsim? They were Apikorsim. So listen to what Rav Nachman of Breslov says. Says the Heiliger Rav Nachman. You know what it means, Shayu Apikorsim? What's a masa? Masa Achem. You were a heavyweight. A masa is a burden. It's something heavy to lift. It's something heavy to carry. What does that mean, Masa Achem? You were heavy to lift and heavy to carry. Shayu Apikorsim. Says the Heiliger Rav Nachman. He says, if you believe in God, if you have faith, if you attach with dvikus that there is a creator and that he has created every one of us and we're here for a reason and nothing in life is random and everything is by design and he has a plan. If you really believe with emuna and bitachon and dvikus, then nothing is heavy. Then nothing is a burden. Then nothing weighs you down. Then you're able to walk through life so lightly, so swiftly, because what's to get anxious about? Hashem did this. What's to get envious about? You have what's meant for you. What's to get angry about? Everything that happens is by Hashem's design. If you really live with faith, if you have emuna, bitachon, and dveikus, then nothing weighs you down. Nothing is so heavy that you can't go on. Nothing debilitates you, and nothing paralyzes you. But your faith carries you, because you know that everything is for a reason. You're light, and you're able to swiftly be carried through life. So says Rav Nachman, Masachem, you were a heavy burden. And you know why you lived such heavy lives? Heavy with anger, heavy with anxiety, heavy with anger, envy. Because Apikorsim. Because if Hashem is not in your life, then you'll be absolutely crushed by everything that happens. But if you face life and you say that I have to come and I have to confront whatever comes my way, I have to navigate it, I have to conquer it, I have to tackle it, I have to do my best with it. We're not passive or submissive, of course. We take our effort, we take our initiative, but with all of that, I surrender and submit to Hashem. It's all Him, I have nothing to worry about. It's all by design, it's all the way it's meant to be, it's all the way it's supposed to happen. It's all the way. I teach this class, Living with Emunah, I say these, preach these concepts regularly, and I struggle to live it. I was just on the plane flying back, and there was a open can of seltzer on the tray, and there was some movement with the travel companions, and the bottle, the can of seltzer fell off the tray, turned over while full, into my briefcase, upside down, and filled my briefcase with the entire content of the seltzer. So my immediate reaction was, this one had to go to the bathroom, this one moved, well, I was like filled with anger, steam coming out of my ears, coming out of my mask, coming out of everywhere. I said, I teach this class with Amuna. The seltzer can wouldn't have fallen in my briefcase if that wasn't what was meant to be. And I took a deep breath and it was fine. And I poured the briefcase into a cup, literally, and salvaged whatever was inside, and that's what was meant to be. When you live with emunah and bitachon, nothing weighs you down, and nothing ruins your trip or your flight through life. Everything's a little lighter, everything's a little bit easier. And Brian Baruch Tzvi ben Ruvei Nasan, there was no masa, nothing was weighty or heavy, nothing was too much. He faced at the end of his life the greatest and the hardest challenges anyone could. He knew his life was slipping away. He watched it and he waited for it. And it wasn't a burden. He would say, as he was close to his deathbed, isn't Hashem amazing? Isn't Hashem amazing? Look at the life he gave me. Look at the family he gave me. Look at the years that I had. Hashem is amazing. And when you live with that emunah, you can not only live, but you can die light, without it being heavy, without it being a burden. It's not easy. And I'm not saying any one of us should compare ourselves or try to judge ourselves or evaluate by that standard. But how lucky we were to know someone and to be touched and to be inspired by somebody who nothing was a masa, nothing weighed him down, nothing was impossible to overcome, no challenge to be able to absorb, because he lived with emunah. Everything was Hashem is amazing. That was his refrain, that was his mantra. It wasn't just his mantra at a family simcha, and it wasn't a mantra in a moment of success. It was a mantra in the hardest moments of life. Hashem is amazing. And if he could, when a can of seltzer tips over on a plane, then it shouldn't weigh us down. Then Hashem is amazing with everything that happens in our life. Says Rabbi Nachman, that's why they were apikorsim. Because the very fact that you're being weighed down, The very fact that you're being frazzled is evidence that there's a little bit of a pagam, there's a challenge in your emuna, because if emuna were greater, you'd be able to tackle and take on whatever came your way, even the greatest challenges that exist. But I want to share with you one other idea, and then we'll daven Maariv. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tadi Tes, tells us, as a debate, the word apikoros, what does it mean? Malamet shayu apikorsim, masachem, the Jewish people were apikorsim. Rav says apikoros is somebody who's mevazet talmid chachamim. An individual who disparages, an individual who shames, embarrasses, an individual who speaks derogatory, negative about a talmid chacham, is an apikoros. It has nothing to do with heresy about belief in God. It has to do with behavior towards the ambassadors of God, towards the representative of God, towards talmidei chachamim. B'shua ben Levi says an apikoros is mevaza chavero b'fnei talmidei chachamim. It's not that you embarrass the Talmud Chacham, it's that you're willing to disparage your friend to the Talmud Chacham. You'll gossip, you'll slander, you'll try to feel superior, you'll push down someone else in front of the Talmud Chacham. The Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayah says that the word apikoros is Aramaic for the word hefker. Apikoros is the same root as the word hefker, and it means that somebody who makes Torah hefker, it means the world is hefker. The world is ownerless. It's random. It's chance. Nobody owns anything. The Torah is ownerless. The Torah doesn't inform and inspire. The Torah doesn't regulate and require us to do anything. But the world is a place of randomness. And yet others suggest the word apikoros, the etymology comes from the Greek Epicurean. It represents the pursuit of pleasure, the Greek ideas. And Chazal were speaking out against apikoros, Epicurean, that philosophy, that attitude, and that way of life. Malamet shayu apikoros means either they were mevaza talmid chacham. That's what Rashi means. They would speak that way about Moshe Rabbeinu. Speak so negatively, either suspiciously about his marriage, suspiciously that he's gossiping about them, or medaber al chaveru b'fnei talmid chacham, or hefker. These people did not, Torah wasn't central to their lives. And the people who represent Torah and who live Torah did not receive the honor and the centrality that it deserved. But I want to close by sharing with you my own interpretation, maybe, of what apikoros means. Why would malamet shayu apikorsim? You fought with one another, you were contentious, and you were suspicious. Why does that make you an apikoros? So if you think about it, apikoros is about the faith and belief in the Ribono Shel Olam, in Hashem. But faith in Hashem is not only faith in Hashem and God the Creator. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, the Creator, expresses and manifests Himself through us. Through the Tzelem Elokim, the human creations, the human beings. Every human is singular. Everyone is individual. Everyone is a unique expression of Hashem in this world. There is no repeat, and there is no random, and there is no unnecessary. Everyone is a Tzelem Elokim. There's a godliness inside each human being, each person. Our mission, our challenge in life, our challenge in these 9 days, our challenge if we don't want to sit on the floor on Motzei Shabbos and Sunday this year, but instead be dancing in Yerushalayim with Brian and all those we want to welcome back to this world. Our challenge is to see the Tzelem Elokim, the godly soul, the godly spirit, to see that which is redeemable, see that which is valuable, to see that which is beautiful in the other. Some people, the godliness is right on the surface. Brian and others we know. Others, that godly soul, that godly spirit, that godly spark is buried somewhere deep within. There are layers and layers on top, and it's really, really hard to find it. And that's where the mitzvah kicks in. It's not hard to love Brian Galbit. I don't know a human being alive who met Brian Galbit who didn't love Brian Galbit and didn't feel he loved them back. But there are people it's really hard to love. It's even harder to like. And that's when the mitzvah, v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, kicks in. That's when we have to find and discover their tzelem elokim, their godly soul. And the people who live in this world and the people who live a life in which they refuse to find the godliness in the other. All they see is that which there is to be suspicious about. All they see is that which there is to criticize or condemn. This one's wrong for this reason, and this one's not religious, and this one voted that way, and this one handled Corona that way, and this one this, and that one that. And all they see are the differences, and all they see is that which they disagree with, and all they see is the suspicion and what they can be critical of. They're apikorsim. They're heretics. Because they are failing to find the God in the other. And that is a form of heresy. You could have the longest marav, and you could shuckle, and you could be strict in every area of halacha, and if you mistreat others, and if you don't see the beauty in others, and if you are suspicious and cynical and judgmental and superior to others, apikoros, it means you're a heretic. Because you may live life in which you think you're showing you believe in God, but you can't believe in God and not find him in the people around you. And that is the last lesson. That is the last lesson of Brian Baruch Tzvi Ben Ruvein Nassim as the Shamash of an Aliyah as we approach his Yeretzayt. That I think Nisa's Tzadikim Kechurban Beis Elokeinu, not only because they were the manifestation of God and we no longer have the comfort and confidence that we used to when we attached ourselves to them like when we visited the Beis HaMikdash, but perhaps it also means because they were the example of that ability to find the Tzelem Elokim in others. They lived lives in which they saw that good, in which when everyone else felt they needed to sit in judgment, criticize, condemn, be holier than thou, they found that which they could connect with every human being, Jew and non-Jew alike, religious and not religious, voted the same as you, voted differently, and every other difference that's out there. And that was Brian's life. He connected with everyone, the most diverse group of people. He saw the good in them, and he searched for the good in them. And I'll close by telling you, I remember once playing golf with Brian, and I asked him, how do you do it? You're always so positive. Life is not so simple. Baruch Hashem, you have a big family and a big practice and challenges of Jewish communal life and leadership of which he played a big role. How are you never down? How are you always positive? How are you always see the good in people? And what looked like it came naturally and easily, he told me it was a lifetime of effort. He made a conscious decision when he was younger that that was how he was going to live, and he worked hard on it until it became who he was. And that is perhaps the most powerful lesson. That it's not always an instinct or natural, but it's something that we could work on and learn. And Mirtz Hashem, we too should not be apikorsim. Like Rab Nachman, we should have the faith, the hope, the positivity, the optimism of Brian to be able to feel that nothing weighs us down. We should have the good, seeing the good in others, the positivity that Brian attached himself and connected with the best of everyone, finding it and searching for it as hard as it sometimes was, until nobody is a masa, nobody is a burden on anyone else. And Amir Tashem, we won't be reading this in the tune of Eicha while sitting on the floor, but Amir Tashem be together dancing in Yerushalayim.